Hello friends and welcome to Fey Earth, a magical world set in an alternate 19th century Earth, where every creature from folklore and fairy tale is real, have always been real, and lived alongside humanity. Join our adventurers as they explore a world of arcane mysteries and danger, where the new scientific and industrial age collides with an ancient world of fairy and magic.
So, hi everybody, and welcome to Fey Earth. My name is Neil. I am the creator of this indie TTRPG set in an alternate 19th century Earth where all the creatures from folklore and fairy tale are real, have always been real, and live alongside humanity. The year is 1872. We are currently in Paris with our band of adventurers who've had a interesting day. The party druid, Sylvia, was celebrating a very important anniversary and spent the day with Mina, the party fighter. And Gwyn, the party witch, is being brought to a very, very fancy high society ball by her lover, Madame Josephine Gaudier, a very, very powerful artificer. Aminata, because of her family connections, has been able to secure an invitation to the ball as well. So I'm just going to say, Aminata, you've been told the ball is being hosted by a Monsieur Gerard Courtemanche, who is a member of the French government. He's kind of politician. The government's in a bit of a mess since the war that just happened. Mm-hmm. So he's sort of a minister, but not. But his main thing is trade. So your family, your family being ambassadors of the Mali Empire, who does trade with France, you would know him. So it was fairly easy for you, as the daughter of an ambassador, to get an invitation to this. And from what you've been told, it's a small kind of ball. We're just coming into the season now, but there's going to be a mixture of very small little parties and then a couple of really, really big ones as well. This is one of the smaller ones that will be happening as we come into the season. Think Bridgerton, folks, okay? So anyway, we will go to Gwyn. Okay, who has gone to the beautiful apartment that she was recently given by Josephine, where the dress that you'll be wearing tonight was being delivered and where you're going to be getting ready. Okay, so when you get to the apartment, you're led in, and on the little table in the living room space of the apartment, there's this very, very large cardboard box. I mean, the thing is huge. Like, it's like well over a meter long by nearly a meter wide. Okay. Wow. Opening it up, you see this breathtaking gown. Do you want to describe what the gown looks like?
Yes. It is red silk. The whole thing is red silk, but the bodice is black and gold brocade. And it's quite high rise, like it's typical of the fashion of the time, quite modest, but it just is low enough for Gwyn to wear the necklace Madame Gaultier got her previously, just to show that off. And she's also going to wear the brooch Madame Gaultier got her before as well.
Yes.
It is very fabulous.
This is some very expensive jewelry that you're wearing.
Very expensive. Everything's very expensive.
Although I will say the brooch looks slightly out of place, because as far as the brooch was in the shape of a cauldron, wasn't it?
Ooh, actually, maybe Gwyn won't wear it. Yes, you're right. It is.
One of them was in the shape of a cauldron. From what I remember.
It was actually the brooch. No, that wouldn't be right. Yeah, she'll just wear the necklace.
So
I'm sorry. Was it not a rose?
No, that was a different. She has been getting showered with chaos by Josephine.
By Sugar Mama. I think
wearing the rose brooch would probably be too like on the nose. But she, what Gwyn is going to do is she is going to actually strap a skinny belt around her waist, just around like her undergarments with her goblin pouch.
You kind of try and hide it under the bustle, are you?
Kind of trying to hide it under the bustle. Okay, right. Yeah,
that
yeah,
makes
yeah.
sense. Okay, because like that would just, you couldn't have that visible.
No, no, at it all. Would not go at all, no. at all. So okay, that good. Is well hidden under the layers of fabric.
I will say that the landlady does come in and she helps you lace up your stays and your undergarments.
Okay.
Because like that's a yes. two-person, you can't do that.
That is a two-person
that
job.
That is a two-person job. And she does help you yeah. with buttons and so forth. And she comments.
Amazing. Okay.
And you're just finishing getting ready when you hear the sound of footsteps and walking up, you see Josephine Gautier. Looking stunning as always.
What is she wearing?
So she is wearing it's also a deep kind of red, kind of almost burgundy gown. Okay. It's not black detailing on the bodice. It's instead got what looks to be a silver thread coming up through it, okay? And there are some, these dark stones set into it. You're not sure if it's glass, simple black glass, or if it's obsidian or what it is. You don't know. Her bountiful bosom, very much on display. Her beautiful blonde locks up in this intricate but perfect, elaborate kind of top knot bun type thing, okay? And there is, she has little fine chains of silver coming around through the hairpiece as well. She's wearing a beautiful necklace. It's kind of like a heavy chain that comes down into a very large, very, very expensive looking diamond. And as she sees this, oh, absolutely beautiful. But it's just this one thing missing. And with a gesture suddenly appearing in her hands is a small cardboard box.
Honestly, you're too good to me. I'm going to open it.
So you open it and what you find is a choker-style necklace, which is lined with crystals. But set in the middle, there is a diamond-shaped ruby stone. That perfectly matches with the color scheme of your outfit. It looks.
This is once again one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is crazy expensive.
Would you do the honors? And Gwyn will turn around and let her put it on.
So she does. Her fingers gently lingering along your neck and your collarbone as she does it, giving you that little tingle. And you see yourself in the mirror as she's doing this, and you can't believe it. You're like,
who is this person?
How the hell did this teenager from a random city in England end up here in Paris wearing these clothes?
Almost like it's too good to be true.
She takes you by the hand and leads you downstairs, and you come out to the front and you see her carriage, and you see Jerome. He's sitting there in his fine linens, standing there waiting for you both as you come. He has the door open and helps you both in, and then he hops up into the driver's seat and starts driving you in the direction of... Now, he's not using the magical shadow-jumping abilities of the carriage. He's traveling in a mundane fashion. Okay. So, Josephine...
I also have Anki with me. And I think I would have kind of him around my neck in just kind of a little, like, a stole-type fashion.
Yeah,
so you could still see all the bling.
Yeah, she did see the dress, so she knows what your dress looks like. And of course, Anki's chameleon abilities mean that he can perfectly merge into fabric, but she hasn't noticed so far. This what looks to be extra ruffles of fabric coming up around the back neckline of your dress is actually Anklagon, Justine's fairy dragon familiar, who is perfectly lying across your shoulders and there. Now, Justine, were you planning on going in the general direction of where the ball was going to be so you could be within range of Anki?
Yes, definitely.
Cool.
And also, aren't fairy dragons like the last fashion trend in Paris?
Well, maybe shoes made from a fairy dragon.
Oh, God. How dare you?
No.
How dare you?
Cover Anki's ears, okay?
You take that back right now.
Innocent Anklagon's ears.
Yeah. Apologize to Anki right now.
Yes, Justine is going to be lurking around.
Yeah, so you saw the invitation and would know you got the details of where to go for the address. Okay, it's a very, very fine house in a very, very posh part of the city. Okay, so you put on your nicer clothes so you don't look out of place if you're going to be walking around the streets. Okay,
yes.
So right. So as you are there in the carriage, Josephine says, "Oh, we'll be there in about 30 minutes or so." Okay. So this is a fairly small gathering.
Yes, I did mean to ask.
So the this is very, very small. We're just coming into the season now. There'll be a lot more balls that we'll be invited to, some of which I'll go to. I kind of have to be seen to be there. It's actually very important for business reasons, you know, making connections and deals with people, powerful men who like to hire people like myself for their factories and so forth. And this particular ball is being hosted by Gerard Cotemanche. He is a member of the government. He's an interesting chap.
He sounds important.
Well, he was very well known and very popular in the court of the emperor who just died during the war. And he mostly was and still is involved with trade deals with England and Prussia. So an important man to know. As an artificer, I'm constantly needing to get materials that I need for my products. And sometimes those materials would come from those parts of the world, okay? So when, after the war happened, there was this rather brief attempt at the forming of they called themselves the Paris Commune, and it only lasted a few months. And he tried to use his influence to gain some level of power and control there, but then the French army marched on Paris, and he quickly turned his fellow communists in. He is a ruthlessly power-hungry politician, which makes him somebody that you cannot trust, but is also somebody that is very easy to manage because his motives are pretty obvious at all times.
Yes, I know the type you mean. Okay, interesting. So he turned his comrades in, you say? Just like that?
He's a politician. You know, he has had a successful career by making sure that he was on the right side at the right moment and knowing when to jump ship.
Of course.
So, yes. As for who else will be there, it will not be that big. There'll probably be only 30 or so guests. You won't even have
Okay, this is quite selective.
Well, as I said, it's a small, it's kind of a pre-season ball, if you will. But yes, quite small. There will be much more. And so it'll be mostly a few other industrialists, there'll be a few other politicians, a few other wealthy members of society. You won't have to talk to that many of them, I would imagine. So do not worry.
But it might be for the best.
Well, I mean, you're here to keep me amused, so I have somebody interesting and somebody interesting to talk to and someone beautiful to look at.
Well, that I think I can do.
So yes, you might have a few people inquiring about you because of your quaint accent. I mean, your French is quite good, but you do have the cutest of accents. It's not what I'm used to. Most of the English people that I would know would come from London and the likes. But
so, oh yes, it's very different in the Southwest.
Yeah. So yes.
I'm not like those Londoners.
I think your accent is quite charming, my dear.
And well, thank you.
You might get some notice because of that. So, yes.
I'll do my best to impress.
Well, I mean, there's some whispering of sweet nothings in your ear, and after about 30 minutes, you get to the carriage pulls up outside a very, very fine house. It's not a terrace house. It's it's on a very, very fine street. It's kind of like a, whatchamacallem, it's like a semicircular cul-de-sac. And like individual houses, you know, so not like a terrace.
Nice.
And it is quite nice. Give me an awareness roll, will you?
Oh, I will indeed. A good roll as always. Awareness is one. That is a 9 total.
Okay, right. So you both head in. You get up to the front of the house, and there's a doorman there waiting, opens the door, and you're let in, and another butler, as you come in, announcing Madame Josephine Gautier and guest, and you come in, you're in a very large room, a ballroom, space for clearly for dancing, and you can see there's maybe about 25, 30-ish people there of different ages. Quite a number of them are older, in their like late 40s, early 50s, but there is a few younger people there, okay? And you're literally only in the door when you hear, because Aminata was in her own carriage coming up behind you, the sound of Aminata being declared. And looking around, you turn and see them walking in. So, Aminata, do you want to describe what you're wearing?
Okay. So, Aminata would be wearing a style of dress that would be very common of the time and era, really nice and elegant. However, instead of a brocade, what it'll look like instead is a type of print native to Mali, so Bogolan. So quite symmetrical, but it would use a mixture of different colored threads for the different effects, and it would be like they would be all over the actual gown itself. And in terms of the color of the gown, it would have a nice, rich kind of burnt orange that didn't look very pumpkiny. It looked very sultry and, you know, very kind of warm and kind of glowing from within. And obviously that would play really nicely with Aminata's skin. Their hair would be nicely fashioned in an updo with a few kind of like loose natural curls. They would have matching jewelry that would also be very Mali inspired, but also kind of done in a Parisian French sort of fashion. So it's like their outfit is going to be a meld of the two different worlds. So at first glance, you'll see a lovely kind of rustic orange dress and be like, oh, that's really nice. And then if you look closer, you'll see it's not really any sort of print that would be common in France. And they would be holding themselves with an almost regal air because this is like their playground. Yeah. They are so used to this sort of setting.
Super. And Josephine sees you and she comes straight up to us like, oh, Aminata. A wonderful surprise, although I'm not surprised considering who your family is that you would get an invitation to this as well. I'm sure your father's had many dealings with Courtemanche.
Oh, yes, we've had quite a few dealings with them. I'm glad I just could be here. I didn't want to leave Gwen all on her own when you were whisked away by all your business partners. I thought I'd be good to keep her a bit of company.
Oh, don't worry. You don't get as successful as me unless you know how to keep the treasures that you value the most close to you at all times.
Oh, I don't doubt that for any second, madame. And how are you this fine evening? You both look so stunning.
Oh, please. You look lovely as well yourself, my dear.
Amanda, you look wonderful. I've never seen anything like this. And Gwyn is just going to investigate the fabric and the details. She's never seen anything with this kind of pattern scape, and she's just fascinated.
Wait, thank you. It's a very special piece that my mother got for me.
So as you're saying this, you see a couple approaching you, a man and his a man and woman. They look to be in their late 40s, early 50s. The man, he's average height with grey hair that's beginning to thin, slightly plumpish build, bright blue eyes, clean shaven face, wearing very, very fine brocaded waistcoat of rich reds and blues. And he's got a cane in his hand made of ebony and ivory. And on his arm, you see an attractive middle-aged woman. She's dark brown hair, very soft, gentle face, in a beautiful high-fashion gown, lovely soft pastel colors. And as they come up to you, and the man's like, "Ah, Josephine, it is so good to see you in my home." And he gestures to you, Gwyn, and Josephine says, "Oh, this is my very special friend, Gwyn. This is Monsieur Gérard Contamanche.
How do you do? A beautiful house."
"Oh, how do you do?" And he slips, he hears your accent and slips into English. And he's like, "Oh, I actually haven't had a chance to chat to anybody from your country in quite some time, my dear."
Well observed.
"I am a man who works in trade with many people. I have to be able to communicate to get a good deal." And Josephine now turns to English as well, as she says, "Oh, we all know you're a master of languages, aren't you, Gerard?" And his wife is kind of looking a bit confused. Like she's clearly picking up a chunk of what yous are saying, but not necessarily all of what yous are saying. And seeing this, Josephine comes back to French. She says, "Eleanor, it's so wonderful to see you again. Thank you for the invitation to your lovely home. This should be a fun evening." I said, "Oh, Josephine, it's always lovely to have a beautiful woman such as yourself here. And it's very nice to meet you too, my dear," she says to you, Gwyn. And then they both turn to you, Amanada. And she says, "Ah, mademoiselle, it is always a pleasure to see you. How is your dear father?"
"Oh, my father is great, madame, monsieur. They send their regards. And thank you so much for your kind invitation. I'm glad to have accepted it on their behalf."
"Oh, of course. It's always such a pleasure to have your esteemed family come to our home."
I was just going to kind of a little gentle little bow, you know.
And he says, "Excuse us, we must," and he kind of gestures and they go off to do their mingling.
Of course.
So that was Court de Manche himself.
It is.
How young would you say your wife is?
She's 14. She's about 48, 49, I believe. About the same age as himself. He's in his early 50s. I can't remember exactly what. They're actually approximately the same age. She's just a very well-kept woman.
He looks much older.
She was quite the beauty in her youth.
Yes. I would imagine.
When I first met her, they were already married, of course. So she was off limits.
Of course. I feel sorry for her.
Well, you know, men tend not to have to worry about the blushing and all the rouging, all of the skin treatments, the creams, the lotions and potions. They're allowed to just age disgracefully in some cases, and it's perfectly acceptable.
Actually, Neil, are we still in the era of men doing the white faces and the wax makeup and stuff?
That's long gone. Okay.
We're at least 100 years past. That was pre-Edwardian. So no, we're well past that now at this stage.
Okay. Good.
People are actually bathing somewhat more. and in this world, lovely. Much more readily because they have things like magic hot stones to actually make baths.
Or, yes.
So they're not having to use powders and perfumes to hide their bodily odor. Yes. So, we're not making ridiculous, crazy changes to things like toilets and toiletry. I'm not J.K. Rowling. But yeah, we are well past the powdered wigs and white faces. Okay. So you've just moved off from the side, and you hear an announcement: Ivan, Virginie, and Mademoiselle Vivian Poulin. And you see a trio coming in, a man, quite tall, about 187, 6'1", regular build, slightly curly brown hair, oval face. You see, he's actually looks like he's missing the tip of one of his left ear, extremely well dressed, okay? And then beside him, a woman in her late 40s, she is average height, blonde hair, looks like somebody who's like she's a handsome woman who was probably quite beautiful when she was younger, but age is beginning to have an effect on her. Okay, but like still, you know. And then beside them, clearly the daughter. Like you can immediately see the resemblance between her and the mother. A beautiful young blonde woman, slender, slightly above average height, willowy frame. Dressed in the most like beautiful soft pastels that perfectly complement her extremely light and delicate complexion, clearly like the latest of fashions. And Josephine sees is like, oh, I should have expected this. Oh well.
Do tell. Sounds like a story.
Monsieur Poulon, he's a very, very successful textiles owner. He runs several factories. He's quite successful, very wealthy man. I've done some work for him myself. His wife, Virginie, she's pleasant enough. But the daughter, Vivian, she has just come into society. And she is, she's already looking for her perfect husband. And, well, she's... Let's just put it like this. She's an only child and always somebody who was... she's always struck me from the little bit of conversation I've had with her that she was probably the kind of child who was always jealous of the other child's toy, regardless of what it was, because she didn't have it.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. Oh. That is a personality type. Well, it is a shame. She is very pretty.
Oh, she is quite beautiful, yes, but... No, far too demanding.
Doesn't count for everything.
Far too demanding. And I imagine she would be extremely selfish and lacking in talents in the bedroom.
Yep.
It can be a problem with the upper classes. Not first country folk, though.
Yes,
they're much more earthy.
And much more eager to have a roll around in the hay. She
exactly.
So she brings you around, and you're introduced to a few different people. You're trying to remember their names, but you're not remembering most of them. And it's like different men who are factory owners, they're industrialists, a few other politicians, some senior civil servants and the likes. It's like, yeah.
Do I see anything out of the ordinary, unusual? Is it just a lot of the upper classes?
Give me an awareness roll.
Mingling.
Give me an awareness roll.
That was a dirty 20.
Okay. A few figures are standing out. You do see off to one side a young woman, early, like it looks to be about the same age yourself, maybe 20 years old. Extremely beautiful, dark hair. Tiny frame, incredibly petite. Like she looks like she's maybe about 152, 153 centimeters. Like really tiny little frame on her, you know. Beautiful, gentle, innocent face, big, soulful eyes. She's like really, really beautiful. And beside her, you see a woman. You're assuming it's her mother. A very handsome woman in her like early 50s. Slightly, still very short, but ever so slightly taller with a fuller figure. Very soft, very welcoming, smiling face. And they're looking around. And it's kind of, like, you can tell they're kind of... the mother is kind of prodding at the daughter and pointing, trying to point discreetly at a couple of the young men. And the daughter's like blushing, and it's like you're kind of getting the impression that the mother's like, okay, well, what about him? And oh, what about him? And you know, probably trying to play the matchmaker, you know. You see another man, he looks to be in his early 20s, extremely good looking, very, very tall, beautiful blonde hair that's almost like Raphaelette. Curls, you know,
nice.
Just falling around his face. These beautiful eyes, beautiful blue eyes, and just like this, oh, it's this dazzling smile, moving with this lithe grace of like a dancer, wearing brilliant reds with gold, with green trim, and royal blue with gold trim, and like, and he's chatting to a few different people, and he's always kind of lingering around the women, obviously. And then you do see another figure that kind of stands out. He's kind of slightly standing off a little bit, but anytime someone comes to him, he's talking to them. Slightly above average height, very attractive man as well. Looks to be somewhere around his mid, maybe late 30s. Okay, very like quite handsome, like really, really like fabulous cheekbones, really strong jaw. You know. Like great bone structure, you know, amazing bone structure, slender mustache that curls up at the sides, really intense blue eyes. And one thing that actually stands out slightly is he has his long black hair that he's wearing in this simple ponytail, which is so not the norm.
The style, the time. Men
to wear at all. Very, very fair skin, like incredibly pale, almost ethereal looking. Also impeccably dressed, brocaded waistcoat with fine jacket lined with silk. He's chatting to a few different people. So they're the people that like jump out.
That stand out.
Yeah.
So I think at some stage Gwyn will say to Josephine, would you excuse me for a moment? I'll go to the powder room. And she's going to slip away to wherever the powder room is.
Are you going to take Aminata with you? Or is Aminata doing her own thing?
Didn't think of it. I think Gwyn is just, she's going to try and get there for a specific reason. So I think she's just trying to be kind of stealthy and sneak away from Josephine to maximize time. So I think she would have just gone.
Right, yeah.
And when she gets to the pet room, I mean, appreciating the beautiful house along the way, I'm going to take out my scrying equipment.
Okay.
And I am going to... Is there any way of telling if Monclerc is in the area?
Oh, well, you could... Oh, let me just pull up the spells exactly.
I don't have anything belonging to him.
You don't. But you do know him. So just give me a moment, please. I'm sorry. I need to just pull up the spell description.
Yeah, no worries.
It's... Where is it? Locate person.
Locate person.
So the
if I know the person, it'll be quite accurate.
The accuracy of the spell depends on how familiar the witch is to the person. Mm-hmm. If they know the person, the map will be quite accurate, usually showing a building. If the person is one being described to the witch, so you do know him, you don't need... There are other scrying spells in the game whereby you need to have a picture or an object associated with them. But this witch's spell, locate person... It's just familiarity. So you've met the man, you spoke to him, you tried to kill him and he tried to kill you. So I think we can say you are very familiar.
We are acquainted.
Okay.
So she'll find just a private corner and pour the iron filings on the mat. Yeah.
And you go. Okay, you go and you take your minute to cast the spell and you see the iron filings, they start to form into the lines of streets, and after a minute you see them forming around a building that looks to be in one of the more run-down parts of Paris.
Okay. Okay.
He is in the city.
He is in the city still. Okay. Yes. Well, he's not in the building, which was Gwyn's concern, that he might be floating around high society to try and get money or something like that. So, for the moment, she's going to park that, put all her bits away, and return to the main room where the event is happening. And she'll kind of just, I think, drift over to the mother and daughter. Because really, it's such a travesty to see a young, beautiful girl being foisted off on these young men, you know?
Fair enough. Amanada, what are you doing while Gwyn is doing all this?
Well, Amanada would be kind of going around, doing the rounds, you know, just the usual polite society chit-chat, making sure my face is seen, so they can't be like, oh, you know, the morose snubbed the event or whatever. So doing that, you know, a curtsy here, you know, laughing at a joke, you know, some light flirtation happening as well. And yeah, I'm just keeping myself. This is like literally my playground, so I'm very used to navigating this sort of scenario.
A lot of the figures you do recognize, and these are people who you do know from, you know, Parisian society. Some of them you wouldn't know as well. So give me an awareness roll as well, okay? You've got a much lower target number because you're actively mingling and you know a lot of these people anyway.
Where are my dice? Awareness, that is a with keen eyes.
Yeah, sure, why not.
19.
Okay, right, so you see all of these same individuals that Gwyn had seen. You don't recognize the young mother and daughter couple, or the beautiful guy with the blonde Raphaelette locks, or the guy with the long black ponytail. You don't recognize any of these people at all. These are obviously new individuals.
Interesting.
Not people that you would have seen at previous. Now, one thing I will preface is that the young girl, the really tiny petite one, of like the really really small one that I said, she is quite young. She looks to be probably somewhere between, kind of hard to know. She could be 18. She could be 20. She looks, you know, she's like, she might just be coming of age, or maybe still a little bit too young to be coming of age. So maybe that's why you don't really know her. But like, you wouldn't necessarily know all the families in Paris, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So easily a new debutante.
Yes.
Okay. Deadly. Oh, okay. Amanada is probably going to want to either somehow catch some of the stranger's attention so they'll try and speak to her, or just kind of like try and see if anybody else is kind of like talking about them to get their name.
Well, I mean, these individuals, like the tall, beautiful guy, he's mingling. He's a social butterfly.
Okay.
You know, the mother and daughter couple, they're kind of off to the side. And the other guy, he's kind of off to the side, but talking to people as they're going past him. But, you know, so you could take a moment and easily head up to him. And you do spot Gwyn looking like she's going in the direction of the mother and daughter.
Okay. When I see Gwyn making her way towards the mother and daughter, I'm going to kind of like sidle up beside Gwyn and just lean over and say, are you enjoying your night so far?
There's a lot to take in, but it's amazing. I mean, I've never seen this level of wealth before. It's different in Exeter. We would have had to seek in back doors or fancy events and things like that. But never this level of Parisian luxury.
Yes, the Parisians tend to like showing their wealth to all of their friends, more so enemies. And they love to spend money. It's something.
I can tell.
Yes. The food will be, of course, magnificent, because if it's not, it'll be talked about. And if it is, it'll be talked about even more. And if there's anything you need, I can tell you who some of these guests are, if you're not familiar with them, to help you feel a bit more comfortable.
Madame Gauthier introduced me to some of them. It's funny, the level of finery here is, I thought it would be more intimidating. I mean, in Exeter, we have rich merchants, of course, but it's a port city. It's not a really continental city like Paris. And the sort of seasonal events that we had back there were, the thing is, I'm holding it together. I was just going to, let Josephine mingle for a bit and, just hang out around the edges, have a look, see what's going on, see who's who.
You do spot Josephine is off to one side. She's like in conversation with three older men and they're all kind of joking and laughing, but she's regularly checking, like a glancing, just to make sure she's aware of where you are at all times. Like, you can tell she's checking in to see where you are. She has not ignored you, but she is. She's
to be honest, Gwyn is kind of doing the same, because she is her like safety net in this whole situation, as well as Amanata. And Gwyn is kind of a nervous thing. She'll be stroking Anki. Good dragon. So she doesn't feel like, she feels like pretty comfortable with like Amanata and Anki there. And she's just going to wander up to the mother and daughter and strike up conversation. Good evening. So exciting, the start of a new season.
Oh, bonjour. This is the older mother says, bonjour. My name is Marianne Lagarde. This is my daughter Astrid. And I'm sorry, we do not know you. Mademoiselle Moreau, isn't it?
Oui. Bonjour. Well, bonsoir, I should say.
Give me an intellect roll, will you, Amanada?
That is a 21.
Cool. So when she introduced herself, the name does ring a bell, the Lagarde family. From what you understand, they're a small respected family. The Monsieur Lagarde died many, many years ago. He was quite a wealthy man who, just before he died, had apparently sold a very lucrative mining business, and then he died in a horse riding accident. It was quite tragic, and like his wife, she never remarried, though there was a lot of suitors after the death, and she's just been like raising her daughter on her own. And this is clearly, the daughter is getting to the age now where she's going to have to start introducing her to society. She's getting towards that marriage. So you're like, I know you. We've never met because you didn't go mingling in these functions, But like, it's clear that, okay, now she's, you're like, now I understand why she's here now. Her daughter, like, you seeing the daughter, she's like, she's getting near that age that women are expected to marry.
Yeah. Okay. And would I have known of the daughter's name through past?
I'll say with that role, you vaguely remember it was like Astrid or Adelaine, or it was something like that. You were like,
okay. Yeah. And I'm going to introduce myself. Are you enjoying your evening? This is one of your first events, no?
The daughter says, yes, it is. It's quite lovely. And she's a slight tremble to her voice. She's clearly not used to these social functions. Like, it is quite lovely. The food, because there's like little bits of food around. It's been lovely. The music is delightful. I'm sure they'll be dancing soon. A number of men have have already and put their names in my card, and but yes, it is
wonderful, my dear. I'm sure you're going to have a great evening. Be sure to keep your options open. And Gwyn just winks at her. And what a beautiful name, Astrid.
She's oblivious to the wink. Does not register at all.
Yeah, I figured.
Aminata.
Mother, on the other hand, is like giving you a bit of side eye right now.
Aminata is just going to turn to Madame Lagarde and say, Madame, if you'd like to go and mingle with some of your closest friends, I'm more than happy to act as a chaperone of sorts for Astrid, and I can walk her around, point out some of the people around to her. As you know, I would have quite a bit of information on some of the men that would be good choices, some who would not be quite so good, but as always, that is up to your discretion as her mother.
Give me a charm roll. You can add all your bonuses to that.
All? Are you sure? Because I've got three.
Well, I know. No, yeah, because like this is something you're good at, so add your persuasion, add your wordsmith as well. You know, this is what you're good at.
Okay, so that is...
18, Neil, I have
some
questions.
Aminata is
unmarried. Could she be considered a
chaperone? Yes and no. Like, she's unmarried, but she's a woman as opposed to a man. Like, you know, an unmarried woman with another unmarried woman would be like, you know, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so that is a 25.
She's very, very happy for your generous offer. She says, oh, thank you so much, Madame Mazomo, that's so kind of you. I'm just going to go and have a drink, my dear. The Madame was also from a very good family, and she would know quite a number of the men in who would be here. So listen to her. And she's, okay, of course, Mama. And she goes off to mingle, okay? And, like, almost immediately after she's left, you see a guy walking towards you, Ball. Late 20s, extremely attractive, tall, lean, athletic build, square jaw, you know, slightly dark, curly hair that kind of like, you know, that falls slightly over the eyes, deep brown eyes. He's got this like easygoing, soft smile on his clean shaven face, with these cute little dimples, impeccably dressed. You know this man. His name is Thibault Carrel, okay? He is from a very wealthy family which owns a large estate just outside of Paris. And he inherited the land through his family. They were heavily involved in the revolution, you know, go back 100 years or so. And they were rewarded for their loyalty with all these lands that had been formerly owned by other noble families. And it's like, in most other countries, he would probably have a title of Marquis or maybe Viscount, but probably Marquis or something like that. But this is post-revolution France. People don't. The only people who get to keep those titles are foreigners who are in the country, you know? But he is a guy who, you know, he's a guy who thinks of himself as, like, a nobleman. He has quite the reputation. He's particularly fond of attractive young women who he can buy the affections of with baubles and trinkets. And you see his eyes have set on Astrid. And as soon as the mother is gone, he is coming straight over to you.
Wow, he is in for a nasty surprise. So as Aminata kind of like notices him kind of like making their way, mm-hmm. they're going to make sure that their eyes don't land on him. Mm-hmm. And they're going to kind of like link arms with Astrid mm-hmm. and then pretend to be sharing some like little kind of girly gossip and be like, mm-hmm. you know, but as they do that, they're like, you will want to keep an eye out for him. He is a bit of a... He fancies himself to be a bit of a nicer person than he is. He would not make a good match, and he tends to like to buy the favors of beautiful young women like yourself. So,
when you said it, she blushes slightly. I just, oh, he's very attractive, but thank you for telling me this, mademoiselle.
Oh, my dear, you'll get to know the troublemakers in no time. What I found is overconfidence is generally overcompensating for something. Normally, personality.
Mm-hmm. Not always. The attractive ones are...
At this point, he's upon you all and says, "Ah, Mademoiselle Moreau, it is such a wonder to see you again." And, like, he's trying
to... talk to us?
Well, he knows Aminata.
Oh, he...
Of course he does. Yes, and he's actually hit on her a few times and gotten nowhere. And how are your wonderful parents, Mademoiselle?
Oh, Monsieur Caro, my parents are very well. They just weren't unable to make it this evening, so I was allowed to attend on their behalf.
Such a shame. While we are robbed of the beauty of your mother, we have your beauty instead.
Oh, you are such a charmer. You have such a wicked way with those words.
What can I say? I'm a well-read man.
Uh-huh. So it seems.
And please allow me to introduce myself. My name is Monsieur Thibault Carrel. You are Mademoiselle Astrid Lagarde. What? As he kind of extends a hand to Astrid, who kind of puts her hand up and he kisses it and says, may I be so bold as to ask if your dance card is full?
It is. It is quite full.
Unfortunately. It is. This evening.
I'm sorry to hear that. And he actually now notices you for the first time. He said, "Oh, well, that's a shame. Perhaps you have a spot on your dance card, Mademoiselle, to you, Gwyn."
For you? Never.
Huh? Aminata is just going to be like, "Oh, Gwyn, you're such a joker." Like, just trying to recover and be like, and just kind of like, wide eyes as in,
At that moment, you hear a voice.
Oh man, good luck recovering from that.
You hear the voice of Josephine chuckling. She says, "Yes, she is a delight. That's why I brought her here." As she comes and then circles her arm around your waist, Gwyn. "Thibault, you have met my friend who is with me tonight." And when she says that, he immediately registers what's going on and says, "Ah, of course. Yeah. Madame Gauthier, it is always a pleasure. Please. Excuse me, I do not wish to disturb you, and the dancing is starting soon, so I'm sure that I will be seeing you and your beautiful companion on the floor." What? He says, "Well, of course you will," and then he excuses himself to leave.
From afar, hopefully.
Aminata is just going to look to Gwen with not a scathing look, but a kind of, you'll need to be very careful.
"I can't believe you spoke to him like that. I was shocked."
"Oh, my dear, men do not deserve our respect."
She's very confused. And Josephine leans in, her lips just caressing your ear as she whispers, and there's a shiver running down your spine. She's like, "Be gentle, my dear. She's young. And she is very innocent. We don't want to scare her with the truth of how the world really works just yet."
"I can't bear to see such innocence in the hands of those disgraceful chimpanzees, but I suppose..."
Gwyn is telling the truth to a degree. "Some men definitely do not deserve your respect. However, if you want to play the game of society well and play it successfully, you, especially a lady from your family, will want to know how to politely let them down while letting them preserve some dignity and humility."
"Well, definitely, I'm not used to these things, but thank you for your help and your advice."
"Oh, you've got time. Don't let your mother rush you off into marriage too soon. There's so much more out there than being some man's madam. But if you'd like, we could go around. Gwen, madame, I'm sure you'd like a bit of alone time, no?"
"Well, Josephine, looking to spend some time with Gwyn and having helped Astrid a bit with this cad who was trying to have his way with her in some fashion, and or at least you get ready to continue enjoying the rest of the evening's festivities. But this is a perfect place to pause in our story.
Party is going strong. There is a lot of dancing and a lot of socializing to be done. Let's just hope that nothing happens to cause an outbreak amongst these very, very important and wealthy members of Parisian high society. Join us next time to see what happens. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to know more about the world of Faerith, both the system and the setting, please be sure to check out our itch.io page, fae-earth.itch.io. You'll find a bunch of really great products by us there, all free to download. There is the Explorer's Guide to Faerith, our early release core rulebook, as well as a number of one-shots and a starter adventure, Trouble in the North, all of which come with quick play guides and pre-generated characters. There's the delightful Fae Wanderer, a whimsical rules-like TTRPG suitable for all ages that you can play with anybody. It's a quick designed game, 20 minutes of prep, and you can get straight into it. And finally, don't forget our Kickstarter in March, for which we could dearly use your support as we try and bring this world of folklore and fairy tale to life.